We're sponsored by K.E. Sellers, Tyler's European Style Boutique Winery in the French Quarter on South Broadway across from the mall. This past Monday marked the beginning of the second month of regular events at K.E. Sellers called Wine Know. That's K-N-O-W, Know. Every Monday evening through June, the wine experts at K.E. Sellers host wine education seminars. Seminars are free. You don't need a reservation. Just show up, learn what to look for in tasting, buying, and enjoying fine wine. Monday doesn't work for you, then don't miss Friday tonight. At K.E. Sellers, it's jazz with Darren Cable and the Upscale Band. There's no cover, just bring someone. Get a meat, fruit, and cheese tray and a bottle of wine and start the weekend off in the most relaxing way possible. K.E. Sellers is a working winery, not a package store, so you can taste any wine before you buy it. You cannot make a mistake. K.E. Sellers, Tyler's European-style boutique winery in the French Quarter on South Broadway across from the mall, and online at kesellers.com. We're going to choose to talk today about our nannies at the Tyler City Council. On Wednesday of this week, they did what a large number of cities have already done in passing an ordinance that severely restricts smoking in restaurants and other public places. Now, I've always been a little surprised that such an ordinance has been such a long time coming in Tyler. Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, many other cities all have had similar ordinances on their books for several years. I am a vigorous non-smoker. The employees here who still smoke will tell you I'm a complete pain about it. I encourage people who smoke to quit. Are you listening, Melissa? All things being equal, I will hire a non-smoker over a smoker every time. It's been illegal to smoke in commercial office buildings like this one for some time now, but if it weren't, I, as the boss, would make it illegal. In here, at least, I wouldn't need a law. Plain and simple, I don't like smoking. I don't like being around it. But plain and simple, I don't like this new ordinance. It's an assault on freedom. One of my favorite haunts in Dallas is a restaurant owned by the Campisi family. It's an Italian food landmark, been around since World War II. Joe Campisi's widow, the matriarch of the family, is a smoker. I was in the restaurant a few days after Dallas's smoking ordinance took effect, and I watched as Mrs. Campisi was prohibited from smoking on her own property, and that should scare you to death. Because if the government is able to decide for your own good that the Campisis can't allow smoking on property that they own, it won't be long before the government decides that for your own good, fettuccine Alfredo isn't good for you, and the Campisi family shouldn't be allowed to serve it. The same goes for the beef at Dakota's or the prime rib at Keeper's Hall Estates. If you think I'm overstating, consider the following. Two Republicans and one Democrat of the state legislature in Mississippi introduced a bill that would make it illegal for restaurants to serve people who are overweight. In New York City, an ordinance passed in 2007 dictates the ingredients in food served in restaurants, making it illegal to serve any food that contains trans fat. In California, revisions to the building codes are in the works right now that would mandate what are called radio-controlled thermostats, or RCTs, in new construction and substantial remodels. With an RCT installed, power authorities have the capacity and the authority to override your thermostat setting and set your home temperature for you, all in the name of the greater good. We already have speed limits on roads and highways, but since speeding still kills thousands of people every year, how long will it be before the government mandates mechanisms on our cars and trucks that prevent the vehicle from going over 65 miles per hour? Where does this kind of nanny state thinking stop? I submit that if we stand here and do nothing, it won't stop until it's too late. Freedom is not surrendered all at once. It is surrendered in small increments. The fact is, I believe the marketplace is a much more efficient mechanism than do-gooder politicians. If my friends the Campisis want to turn their restaurant into one that specifically caters to smokers, it's their property and they should have the right to do so. I would then have the right to decide if I still want to eat there. I probably wouldn't. I know that being significantly overweight will impact my ability to make a living, my attractiveness to my mate, and my prospects for a long, healthy retirement, so I watch what I eat out of my own free will. But from time to time, I do treat myself to a big, expensive, high-calorie meal, and I wash it down with a nice red wine, usually followed by a single malt scotch, Glenlivet 18, in case anybody's interested. I like my home to be cool in the summer, and I like it to be cool in the winter. So in the winter, I don't use much heat. In the summer, I use a lot of air conditioning, and I pay the resulting bills. If energy becomes scarce, the marketplace will send me a clear signal to reduce my consumption by raising my price. I know the Tyler City Council, like its counterparts in cities all across America, was well-intentioned in passing this highly restrictive smoking ordinance, but as the saying goes, the road to hell is paid with good intentions. All the behaviors that these do-gooders seek to control are self-limiting through the efficiency of free markets. But intrusive and coercive legislation is not self-limiting. Once the camel's nose is in the tent, It's not long before the rest of the camel is in the tent as well. Smokers and non-smokers should be alarmed by the City Council's recent action. I say again, it's an assault on freedom. That's my word. What's yours? Go to ktbb.com/youtellme, and you tell me.